Glad to go to Halacha with a guest in attendance.
Very important guest in attendance.
Thank you, Shlomo.
Very important. Have a good day, Shlomo. Hey, gentlemen, we're in a hard time now here in Israel, as it goes without saying. And not going into all the ramifications of what's happening. First and foremost, the very real pikuach nefesh that we're all feeling, which in and of itself, beyond any halacha, beyond any Torah, is inexcusable. Inexcusable to put any human being, and for that matter Jews, who are human beings as well, in a constant state of pikuach nefesh. There's no question that when it happens in Israel, it's compounded, simply because we do have a mitzvah on the books to live in Israel. What's that mitzvah called in halachic language? Yeshuv Haaretz. Now, if of course it's a mitzvah, it begs a question. What's missing from this mitzvah? Usually when you do a mitzvah, there's a protocol, there's a procedure. You come to do a mitzvah like lighting your Hanukkah candles, eating your matzah, shaking your lulav. You don't just shake, eat, light. What do you do first?
Blessing.
A blessing. Did you ever wonder why, when you come to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, coming to settle in Israel, or the very fact that you live in Israel, or the first time you came on Aliyah and you lived in Israel, you didn't make a bracha asher kiddishanu b'mitzvota v'tzivanu leishev ba'aretz? You say leishev basuka, but you don't say leishev ba'aretz.
You didn't make the bracha?
Anyone here make the bracha? Anyone know of such a bracha? I would love to hear it. Is there some esoteric source that I didn't know about? Shechianu, you do make when something gives you great happiness personally. That could be when you buy a new suit. That could be, of course, when you make Aliyah to Israel, and many other occasions throughout the year. I'm talking about Birkat HaMitzvah, not Birkat HaShevach, giving praise to God, or Birkat HaHoda'ah, giving thanks to God, but rather here we're talking about something very specific, a bracha on a mitzvah. Why don't we make a bracha on Yishuv Haaretz, on living in Israel? Living in Israel is important. Living in Israel is written everywhere in our Torah, especially in Sefer Devarim. Living in Israel is definitely something that we're all doing and even suffering because of it. Why don't we make a bracha?
Not every mitzvah has a bracha.
Okay. So now, in order to answer this question, let's start thinking about it halachically and go back and say as follows. Your name again, sir?
Barry.
Barry says, with due respect, not every mitzvah has a bracha. And we'll have to get into why not. To answer this question, let's just try to regulate our thoughts and to make it as clear as possible. If there's no bracha on a mitzvah, such as there's no bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah, there's no bracha on the mitzvah of mishloach manot, matanot le'evyonim, and many other such mitzvahs that we have to take a step back and say why. Now there's basically two options we can say. What can we say?
I thought one is
two radical options.
One involves another party.
We'll get to that. That's already answering something else. We just said a mitzvah should have a bracha. That's the equation. So if there is no bracha on this mitzvah, what can we do? Take that equation and take it apart. Poke holes into it. Either there's no mitzvah, or there is a bracha. Correct? I just said there's no bracha, even though there's a mitzvah. So in order to explain why, we could say either there's no mitzvah, or we could say there is a bracha.
Wait, there's a third alternative.
Yeah, there is.
We'll get to the third, but let's start with the first two, okay, and try to regulate our thoughts when we come to a halachic topic and a question, how to think about it. So first of all, you can suggest maybe there is no mitzvah. There is a point of view like that. The point of view of that has been, I would say, made famous by the Megillas Esther. Not the Megillat Esther you read on Purim, but a Perush, an interpretation called the Megillat Esther. The Satmar Rebbe loves to quote him. The Megillat Esther came to the conclusion that there is no mitzvah today of Yishuv Haaretz. There's no mitzvah to live in Israel, simply because the Rambam did not count it in his Minyan HaMitzvot. When he enumerated what he thought were the 613 mitzvot, he did not include mitzvot Yishuv Haaretz. The Megillas Esther comes to the conclusion, so there is no mitzvah today to live in Israel. It's probably a great thing, a wonderful thing. The Rambam himself says that it's better to live in Israel in a city that's totally Gentile versus living in Chutz La'aretz in a city that's totally Jewish. Obviously, there's a virtue to it. It's a value, but it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. And indeed, Rav Tzadok, a Kohen Milublin. Everyone heard here of Rabbeinu Tzadok? When I was growing up, we never heard of him. But thank God in 2016, the Hasidic world has not only become a world that they sing and dance, but it became a world of intellectualism. So people are actually learning the Hasidic works. So Rav Tzadok is one of the great Hasidic Rebbes. He basically says that, indeed, with due respect, there is no mitzvah today of Yishuv Haaretz. And he goes on to explain that Yishuv Haaretz is living in Israel in tranquility, living in Israel b'shalom u'b'shalva. We're not at that state today. So there is no mitzvah, so why don't we make a bracha on this mitzvah, says Rav Tzadok. There's no mitzvah. On the other hand, you could say, no, there is a mitzvah. And bracha. And this is a very radical point of view, but it's there. And this point of view I've seen in the name of a gentleman I wanted to introduce you to this morning. His name is Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Fogelman. How many people may have heard the name?
Mordechai.
Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Fogelman, 1898 till 1984. Not that I know of. You can ask them, though. He was a chassid of the Hustiner Rebbe. The Hustiner Rebbe is a very famous Rebbe that came to Tel Aviv, was a Zionistic Rebbe. There are such things. And ultimately came from great Yichus. He got smicha from Rav Meir Arik, if that means anything to you, the Imre Yosher. He, in his Beit Mordechai, says, we do have a bracha. He says that Chazal don't make new brachas if there's already a bracha on the book. In other words, if there's a good bracha, you don't have to make another one. So on Hanukkah you make a Sha'as Anisim Avoteinu. It's a nice bracha. So why not make it on Purim too? Also a nes. You don't have to make a new bracha for Purim. So says the Beis Mordechai, Rabbi Fogelman, there is a bracha on the Mitzvah Yishuv Haaretz. Where would we have a bracha? Beautiful bracha. As a matter of fact, it's such a beautiful bracha that the Gemara in Bracha says, Kol Shelo Amar Eretz Chimda Tova Rechava Bevirkat Haaretz Lo Yatza Yedei Chovato. What is he speaking of? Eretz Chenda Tova Rechava Birkat HaMazon. Which bracha of the Birkat HaMazon of the benching?
I guess the first.
Not in my version. In the second. No delacha Hashem Elokeinu Ashin Chadala Avoteinu Eretz. Beautiful bracha.
The third.
So there is a bracha. And basically because there is a bracha, and it was made according to the Gemara, who instituted the bracha? Yehoshua. When?
When we came into Eretz Israel.
So there is a bracha.
The 10th of Nisan.
And because there is a bracha from the 10th of Nisan in the 40th year that the Jews were sojourning in the desert, says Rabbi Fogelman, there is a bracha, there's no reason to make a new bracha. So there is a mitzvah, and there is a bracha. Obviously, both these points of view are very, very problematic, to say the least. Why?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is he implying that even though we say it in Birkat HaMazon, then when we come to Israel to make Aliyah, whatever, we should say that blessing separately as a blessing to make the thing, because otherwise we're not saying a blessing before the mitzvah. Right?
I don't think he says it. I think that when you come to Israel for the first time, yes, you should have kavana that this is the bracha. But obviously, there's a problem with it, and you're already alluding to it.
Yeah,
and what's that?
It's out of sync with all brachas.
All the other brachas. You make a bracha, you do the mitzvah.
Right.
You have nowhere in any Shulchan Aruch, in any version of coming to Israel, in the art scroll version and the non-art scroll version, the laws of living in Israel, it never says, before you get off the plane, say, benching.
Well, it means have a pizza, then you're off the plane, while you're benching.
And even in and of itself sounds strange, right? It's like you don't know the bracha on bubblegum, so eat a piece of bread, so you don't have the suffix on what bracha you make on bubblegum, right? Oh, we have to make a bracha. We don't have a bracha, but we do have a bracha, but we can't just say it, so eat a pizza before you come off the plane. Obviously, that's not the way we make brachas. Brachas are made in such a way that we make a bracha, we do the mitzvah, ver la siyatan. The second point of view I brought, that there is no mitzvah, that's a radical point of view that has been widely not accepted by most poskim. Most poskim today, from the so-called black world to the so-called white world and everything in between, with sandals on in the winter, without payas on in the winter, from the people that live up in the mountains to the people that live in the valley, have all nimnu v'gamru v'amru, that there is a mitzvah to live in Israel today.
There is.
There is. So the question again is, so if there is a mitzvah, why isn't there a bracha? And to say the bracha is benching doesn't sound right. That's not the way we make brachas.
In the other bracha, there's a very specific act. You make the bracha, you do a specific act.
Okay.
It doesn't involve another part.
So now we have to now say, okay, if there is a mitzvah, why isn't there a bracha? And in order to answer that, we obviously have to say that there's something about this mitzvah that does not allow us to make a bracha for some technical reason, or maybe some unprincipled reason. So let's go through various things in halacha we know, where there's a mitzvah minus a bracha, and try to see if this applies here. So Bruce, before you said something, what was it?
When you involve another party, let's say tzedakah,
right?
You don't know if they're going to accept it. This is what I was told. I always thought maybe you should make a bracha and give tzedakah, but maybe they'll throw it back at you.
Correct.
Bracha b'tzalah.
Correct. Indeed, the Shuta Rashba is famous in saying that why don't you make a bracha on tzedakah? Because he may throw it back at you. So maybe your bracha will be what?
In vain.
You come to Israel, you want to live in Israel, how do you know it's going to work? Obviously, you need to get a mortgage, you need the city to allow you to build a home, then you build a home, perhaps you'd be evacuated from the home. All these things have happened in the last few years, either by our own hands or the hands of our enemies. And therefore, says, you can definitely suggest that there's no bracha on this mitzvah because it's not totally dependent upon you. Lul of you buy, and you could shake it, and 99.9% you'll be able to be sure that you'll fulfill the mitzvah. When it comes to living in Israel and mekayim and fulfilling this mitzvah, how do you know? You give tzedakah to the ani, he may throw it back at you. You give matanot le'evyonim, or you give mishloach manot, they may say no thanks. And because of that, says the Rashba, there's no bracha on tzedakah. And obviously we can plug it in here. How do you know that you're going to succeed this mitzvah?
With any bracha, you know, you're going to hammer the mezuzah in the doorpost.
Yes.
Maybe the nail will break.
So obviously, Bruce, you're asking an interesting question. And that is, every mitzvah you can make a claim that, hey, maybe it won't work.
Right.
But quite frankly, I think the answer would be probability. Probability-wise, if you knock the mezuzah in the door, it's going to stay up there. No one's going to touch it. On the other hand, when it comes to the mitzvah of Yeshuva Haaretz, the probability perhaps goes down. The probability goes down for many different reasons. But quite frankly, the probability is not as high. So that could be one reason why there's no bracha on mitzvah Yeshuva Haaretz. You're not sure, in the high probability, that you'll be able to fulfill it as you are when you're about to shake a lulav, about to light the Hanukkah candles.
Is this a lifelong commitment? You come on Aliyah, maybe a year later it didn't work out. But for that time, and you got off the plane, your intention was to come and allow you. Did it?
I'm saying that in this case, it's not totally dependent upon you. Just like with the poor person, it's dependent upon him receiving it, not just you giving it. So too here, you can have the best intentions in the world when you get off the plane. You can do everything right.
But perhaps,
something goes wrong. I can write a book on something funny happened to me on the way to the airport. And even if you got to the airport, you got off the plane, you came to Israel, who knows what might happen? It could be the government will evacuate you, and that did happen in the last few years. It could be that your house will fall down. It could be that the house that you bought, you don't have enough money for, because all of a sudden the kablan comes back and says, whoops, I forgot $200,000 that I forgot to mention. Many different things can happen. If it's totally dependent upon you, you make a bracha. The minute that it's dependent upon the government, upon the municipality, upon many other people and things that can happen and occurrences, you don't make a bracha.
When you make shavu brachot at a wedding, you know, a lot of weddings end up in divorce.
No, it's not the same thing. When you make shever brachas at a wedding, you're making the shever brachas for that wedding. You're not making the shever brachas for the marriage.
Define living.
We'll get to that. Define living. Secondly, we could say, not only is it that you can't make a bracha because it's not totally dependent upon you, but perhaps you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of Yeshuv Haaretz, living in Israel?
Maybe building a home. Maybe building a home.
So there's a famous Gemara in Menachos that I'll read to you that governs our saying of mitzvahs. The Gemara in Menachos that Mem Ben Amud Bet says, Kol mitzvah dasi yata gemar mitzvah. Any mitzvah you do, that when you do it, you finish the mitzvah. Kegon mi, like bris milah. When you snip, it's over. You've done the mitzvah. Yisrael tzarich levarech. A Jewish person has to make a bracha. The chol mitzvah da'asi yata lav gemar mitzvah kegon tefillin. And any mitzvah that you do, that when you do it, you have not finished the mitzvah, like tefillin. What does it mean here, like tefillin? Not when you put on tefillin, but when you make the tefillin. There's no mitzvah to make the tefillin per se. It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's a means for you to put on tefillin. Then, eino tzarich levarech. Sukkah's a good example as well. When you build the sukkah per se, even though there's a Yerushalmi that is against what I just said, the Bavli at least says that indeed you don't make a bracha. So, interestingly, Rav Maimon, who was a Sar b'Memshelet Yisrael, he was a government minister, says in the name of Rav Kook the following words, that according to the Ramban, with a nun, who disagrees with the Rambam and believes there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Ha'aretz, and he counts it in his numeration of mitzvahs, he defines what's the mitzvah. Anybody know the famous Ramban? All right-wingers know it Ba'o Peh. I was taught this.
Not to leave a single hill unsettled.
Right. Have we gotten there yet?
Never.
Have we gotten there as of yet?
Well, it's a process.
So,
it's a process. Well,
exactly. Says Rav Kook that according to the Ramban, and I'll read the Ramban to you, Lo na'azva b'yedezu atenu, the lo lishmama, quite frankly, we have not gotten to a situation where we have totally fulfilled this mitzvah of settling the entire land. First of all, we don't have the entire land in our hands. And second of all, even what we have not totally settled it as of yet because of various different reasons. So when you said before, your name again?
Yoel.
When Yoel said, we'll define living, this can be a very good reason why we don't have a bracha. We have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah totally. Did we do nothing? Absolutely not. We've done a lot.
Well,
we're getting there.
This is a national mitzvah, not an individual mitzvah.
No, in other words, the mitzvah, everyone does his part, and eventually you get to a situation where the land is settled. There's a yishuv ha'aretz, plural. We haven't gotten there yet. So when you do it, asiyata lav gmar mitzvah, doing it has not finished the mitzvah. So far, we've said two things. We started out by saying, if there's a mitzvah, why don't we make a bracha? So we try to say, maybe there's no mitzvah. There is a point of view like that. And we said, well, maybe there is a bracha in benching. We found both of those flawed. So if indeed there's a mitzvah, why isn't there a bracha? Probably because there's something that doesn't allow it to have a bracha. The first reason is, well, it's not totally dependent upon you. It's dependent upon the government, the municipality, and whatnot. And the second reason is, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah totally yet. That hasn't happened nationally yet, as you said. Beyond that, you can go a step further and say the following. With due respect to mitzvot, mitzvot is sometimes independent and sometimes a part of a wider mitzvah. Correct? Sometimes you do a mitzvah and it's independent, and sometimes it's part of a wider mitzvah. So when I put on tefillin, I'm just putting on tefillin, correct? That's it. What about when I drink the four cups of wine at the Seder? There's a mitzvah, I mean, the Rabbanon, from the rabbis, to drink four cups of wine. Is that an independent mitzvah? Or is it done with something else?
You're done with the matzah?
Done with the matzah, I don't recall in my Seder, but you're getting close.
The Maggid.
Exactly. The Gemara says explicitly, every one of the four cups of wine, there's something that's done with it. The first
is
Kiddush. The second is Maggid, as you said correctly. The third,
benching,
and the fourth, Hallel. When you have a mitzvah that's not done independently, but done together with another mitzvah, you don't make an independent bracha. Therefore, on the Seder night, no one says, Asher kiddishanu mitzvah v'tzivanu lishtot arba kasot. You don't say that, because it's part and parcel with the other mitzvah done at the Seder. Correct?
Meaning if you were sitting in Shabbat of Haggadah and you didn't know it by heart, and the guard said, you know what?
Could be.
Here's matzah, here's wine.
The Gemara, I won't get into that, but the Gemara does talk about drinking all the four cups of wine one after another without doing the way we do it with the procedure. But if you do it the way you're supposed to do it, you don't do it independently. I'll give you another example of something not done independently. You do it twice a day. Or the way you're supposed to do it twice a day. Kriyat Shema. You ever just say Shema? There's a protocol to say Shema and Shacharis and Admairif. What's the protocol? Two brachos before. At least one bracha in the morning afterwards. One bracha afterwards in the morning, pardon me. At night, at least two brachos afterwards. Some people even have three brachos afterwards. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying that any time you do a mitzvah and it's done with other mitzvot, then you don't make a bracha. So says the Avnei Nezer. Everyone here knows who the Avnei Nezer was?
Mm-hmm.
A great Gaon, the Sachacheh of a Rebbe.
The Ar- argued on the Megillat Esther.
He did. And in a famous tshuva, he deals with this. And he says, the Rambam did not enumerate this mitzvah because it's part of other mitzvot. What's part of, what's the part of which mitzvah?
Beit HaMikdash, probably.
Not exactly.
Wiping out
the seven nations. Yeah. Absolutely. He said it's part of the mitzvah of wiping out the second nation. And therefore, there's no bracha on it. He says it's much like the mitzvah of putting a parochet on the Aron. The Rambam does not enumerate, even though the Torah says you have to put a parochet on the Aron in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. Why does the Rambam enumerate it? Because it's part of the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. Why is it no mitzvah on Arba Kosov? Because it's part of the other things we do. Why is it no bracha on Kriyat Shema? It's part of the Birkos Kriyat Shema. So therefore, it's not just Yishuv Haaretz independent, like putting on tefillin, shaking a luluf, lighting a Chanukah menorah. It's not an independent mitzvah. It's part of a wider mitzvah. What's the wider mitzvah? And here we get to current events. The wider mitzvah is not just to live in Israel and to settle the land. The wider mitzvah is to create a situation where Israel is a true Or LaGoyim, a true light upon the nations. And therefore we have to wipe out the seven nations who are the opposite of morality and justice and everything we stand for as Jews.
Now you're talking.
Now I want to make this very clear. Wiping out the seven nations that don't exist today.
Don't exist today. Hold on a minute.
There's no seven nations today. Yeah, sorry, Bruce, Rav, you're mixing up. Rav Soloveitchik did not say there were seven nations.
About Amalek.
Amalek. It's different. Amalek. Did we talk about Amalek? Did I say Amalek? Anyone heard the word Amalek here?
It's right in the Torah. Well, no. Come to Israel.
I just mean parentheses. You are correct that Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his father of Moshe that based on the Rambam's formulation, the Rambam says explicitly that came Sancheiriv and mixed up all the nations of the world, and there's no Shivat HaMamim, there's no seven nations anymore. So that every time you've seen the Torah, Gergashe Yevusi and all that, doesn't exist anymore. However, when it comes to Amalek, he doesn't say the words V'kfar Avad Zichram, and therefore he was Medayik that Amalek is not a nation, but rather an idea.
Right.
And that exists. I'm not talking about Amalek this morning. I'm talking about the notion given to us in the written Torah of coming to Israel. When Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people in the name of God, come to Israel, it's never independent. Come to Israel and live here and finished. It's always in reference of capturing the land, living in the land, and wiping out the seven nations. Now why did you have to add that third clause? Why does the Avnei Nezer say the Rambam did not enumerate it because it's included in that? In my opinion, there's an idea here. A profound idea. And that is that when you live in Israel, unlike when you live outside of Israel, it's not just a private thing. It's a public national thing. It's part of a national initiative to create a state that is a state that stands for morality and justice and the opposite of everything that the Shivat HaAmamim stood for. Just by example, we read it on the Mincha of Yom Kippur. One of the things that the Shivat HaAmamim did, that God said, I'm going to wipe them out of the land. Arayot. Arayot. Incense. Normal people do not do incense in the family. Now we hear and there, we read in the newspapers of someone that slept with his daughter, God forbid, or his son or whatnot. But normal people who are just, people that are morally up there, don't. So living in Israel, says the Avnei Nezer, it's not a mitzvah in and of itself to live in Israel. Here I am. It's a mitzvah that's national. Create a situation where there's a land of justice, a land that basically speaks what God speaks about throughout the Torah. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet. A land that's not just a land where Jews live, but a land that ultimately expresses Judaism. And the seven nations did not express Judaism. Quite frankly, they expect the antithesis of Judaism. Therefore, there's no bracha on the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz because it's not an independent mitzvah. It's part of a general idea of creating a state and a land and a place which is a place of justice and a place that speaks morality and, I will add, speaks God's Torah. Now, whether we have gotten there or not, you can decide. On the one hand, you could say, we haven't gotten there yet, there's corruption and whatnot. On the other hand, you could say, well, a lot of corruption, but what a great thing, a badge of honor. There's a prime minister that went to jail, about to go to jail. There's a chief rabbi about to go to jail. There's a president already in jail. You've got a whole government in jail. And that's actually a badge of honor. A badge of honor for a state that's just, that does not differentiate between a citizen and a leader. And so I don't know if we're there yet, but any way you cut it, quite frankly, the mitzvah of Shivat HaAmamim that the Avnei Nezer says is part and parcel of Yishuv HaAretz, or vice versa, means you're not just to settle the land, but it's part of a wider mitzvah. A wider mitzvah of creating a state.
Is it true that one should do a mitzvah even if they can't make the bracha for some reason?
Absolutely.
So it's not
brachot einan me'akvot. But here we're saying there is no bracha.
Right.
Not that there is a bracha, you can't make it, you don't know Hebrew, you don't have the Arutz Kosider in front of you. We're asking why not. So to sum up for today, and we'll continue next week, just to sum up, we started with a question this morning. What was the question?
Is there a bracha of Yishuv HaAretz?
No, that was not the question. We know the answer to that question. No.
Sure. Is there a mitzvah?
Oh, is there a mitzvah?
Why don't, if there's a mitzvah of Yishuv HaAretz, why don't we make a bracha? Right. So the most radical approach would be, there is a bracha. Benching. Sounds a little flawed. What, you use benching when you come to Israel? No one does that. Usually you make a bracha, there's a patient. On the other side, you could say there's no mitzvah. Also a radical approach. So here around the table, we assume there is a mitzvah. And we said basically three things this morning. Number one, it's not totally dependent upon you. There's other things involved, and therefore you can make a bracha. It's only when it's totally dependent upon you, you can make a bracha. Number two, you haven't yet finished the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to settle the entire land and to live in peace and tranquility. We're not there yet. So when you start doing the mitzvah, you haven't finished. And number three, what we just said is, Yishuv HaAretz is swallowed up within a wider mitzvah. What's the wider mitzvah? To wipe out the seven nations. We explained what does that mean to wipe out the seven nations. Not murder, kill, death, but
Tzedek and Mishpat.
Tzedek and Mishpat, and create a land that's the opposite of what we read about in the Mincha of Yom Kippur. The opposite, because that's exactly what the Torah charges us on Yom Kippur in the afternoon. It says explicitly, Al titamu bechol eile. Don't defile yourself with all of these. Ki bechol eile nitzma'u agoyim asher ani meshaleach mipnechem. Because this is exactly what the seven nations did, that I'm going to wipe out, totally eradicate, and take out of Israel when you come in. In other words, living in Israel is not a mitzvah in and of itself, per se. It's part of a wider mitzvah. Create a state that's a Jewish state, that everyone will look at it and say, wow. And that's what we need to get to. And therefore, because an independent mitzvah doesn't get an independent bracha.
Thank you, Rabbi Shura.